This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Senator Marsha Blackburn is here. We have much to discuss with the senator. For instance, AI, the war in Israel. There's so much to get to tonight, and I'm right. Choke points. What's a choke point? Oh, don't worry. I'm going somewhere with this. You just have to stay with me. We're going to get to what the communists are doing now. They have plans for us. And to understand what they're doing, we have to first understand a couple things. What is a choke point? Well, it's just what it sounds like. You ever seen the movie 300? It doesn't matter if you've seen the movie. It's a great movie. But the concept is 300 Spartans found a choke point, a place they could hold. So this huge Persian army would have to go through this narrow little place, thus giving their small numbers added power because they controlled the choke point. They didn't have to control everything. They couldn't control everything. Find a choke point, seize it, control it. It's important as we go into what the communists are doing in this country with AI and things like that, and it's important we understand this concept of choke points, and it's important that we understand that he understands it well. The communist understands it. What do I mean? The library. Look, we've used this example a million times. The school library. Why in the world, why does the communist value school libraries? Public libraries, too. Why do they value the libraries so much? You drive by the public library a million times a year. You probably don't even look. You probably don't even give them one of these. You don't even notice it. The communist moves right to your red town. That's the first place he goes. Hey, are there any openings? I'd like to be the librarian, maybe the head librarian. Could I run the library? Why? Well, the library is a choke point of information. He doesn't have to seize every inch of your hometown. He doesn't have the numbers for that. But he can grab a critical choke point where people, especially children, go to receive information. What's he do with that choke point? Well, you've seen it. He takes the anti-communist manifesto from the world-famous Jesse Kelly. And if he even puts it in the library at all, it gets stuffed in the back, right? Hey, put that in the corner next to the National Geographic mags nobody likes. But, my goodness, we have some books for your 8-year-old telling him how to be gay. Right up front, baby. Big old rainbow poster. Come on in, Aiden. Let's cut your penis off. He loves those choke points. Gives him more power. Gives him more control. That brings us to AI. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be some AI expert for you. Artificial intelligence. Technology is way beyond me. You know I would never pretend. I know enough to know, though, AI is the future. It will be integrated into everything now. Everything. Forget about just schools and things like that. My buddy's in sales. They have AI all throughout their sales department now. Whole AI sales teams. AI is coming everywhere. And so it's important to discuss AI briefly here. Because you see AI as maybe a scary technology like I do. Certainly an advanced technology. Oh my gosh, thinking computers. So we're trying to figure out what we're dealing with. Where is it going to go? That's how you see it. That's how I see it. The communist only sees a choke point. The communist sees an opportunity to seize more power, control more. White House put out something today. This is according to Breitbart. This is for AI. The White House says it will send out guidance to landlords, federal contractors, federal benefits programs, and others to reduce the possibility of racial and other biases with their use of AI. And there will be, of course, training, technical assistance, and coordination between the DOJ and federal civil rights offices on best practices for investigating and prosecuting civil rights violations related to AI. Man, that's a lot of commie gobbledygook. What does it turn out to be? What's it come down to? Well, what it comes down to is the communist isn't looking at this new technology and he's excited about the possibilities and this could help with this or help with that. The communist sees a way to control you, control what you think, control what you say, control what you do. They intend to be the ones writing the rules for AI to make sure their friends are rewarded and their enemies are punished. That's all that they're saying here. Dome understands what time it is.
All to help make sure that the benefits of AI are shared equitably and to address predictable threats, such as algorithmic discrimination, data privacy violations, and deepfakes. We named it the Blueprint for an AI Bill of Rights.
These people are going to be writing an AI Bill of Rights. I should note before I move on here, before I move on to the AI Bill of Rights, Dome may understand what time it is. I'm not quite so sure Joe does.
The most consequential technology of our time, artificial intelligence, is accelerating that change. It's going to accelerate it at warp speed. AI is all around us. Much of it is making our lives better. And AI is helping the National Weather Service predict weather events, helping the Webb telescope manage 500,000 miles of galaxies away, billions of light years away. I found it when I turned on my phone and saw that. I thought, my God, what is this? Science fiction.
Yeah, anyway, AI Bill of Rights. So that conjures up a kind of a wonderful image, doesn't it? The Bill of Rights. My goodness, we're talking First Amendment, Second Amendment. That's exciting. But why was our Bill of Rights, why was it wonderful? What made it wonderful? Well, the men who wrote it were wonderful. They had you, your freedom. They had it in mind when they wrote the Bill of Rights. What kind of people are going to be sitting down now to write the new AI Bill of Rights? Well, I want you to listen to this from Elon Musk. And this is the reason I want you to listen to this. Before I play it, I want you to listen to this for this reason. You see, the communists have had choke points of power with social media before. In fact, they've had a virtual monopoly on it before Elon Musk bought Twitter, which is also known as X now, whatever. What did the people who are writing the new AI Bill of Rights, what did they do with the power they've had previously? Here's a nice little preview of how AI is going to be used.
The degree to which Twitter was simply an arm of the government was not well understood by the public. There was basically oppression of any views that would even, I would say, be considered middle of the road. But certainly anything on the right. I'm not talking about like far right. I'm just talking mildly right. The people, like Republicans, were suppressed at 10 times the rate of Democrats.
10 times. They already had a choke point of power. They used it to attack you. Not only did they use it to attack you, they is kind of a weird word, right? Let's talk about the specific entities that have used technology and will use the technology of the future to attack you. Did you know that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, also known as the CHECA, did you know that they took $3 million of your money and used it to assault your First Amendment?
Dre, did the FBI pay Twitter money to moderate content moderation?
I'm not aware of us paying money to moderate content there or anywhere else.
What was the $3 million for that the FBI gave that's been revealed in Twitter files, which has been characterized by those writing the Twitter files as payment for content moderation? Basically, they said Twitter, you know, you guys were meeting with them all the time and you had them taking down so many posts, they said, well, gosh, it's a lot of work. Why don't you pay us? And so you did. You paid them $3 million. Are you aware of the payment?
I'm not aware of that specific payment, but I can tell you that when it comes to payments, going back well over four decades, when we are required by federal law, when a company, like in this instance a provider, goes through expenses to produce information, we're required to reimburse them for those expenses.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation paid social media companies so you wouldn't talk about Hunter Biden's laptop. These are going to be the people enforcing the new AI Bill of Rights. You uncomfortable yet? Oh, and did I mention the FBI, they're on the lookout for some truly dangerous terrorists.
But as I said a few moments ago, on top of the homegrown violent extremists and domestic violent extremist threat, we also cannot and do not discount the possibility that Hamas or another foreign terrorist organization may exploit the current conflict to conduct attacks here on our own soil.
On top of the homegrown violent extremists and domestic violent extremist threat, on top of the homegrown violent extremists and domestic violent extremist threat, on top of the homegrown violent extremists and domestic violent extremist threat,
we have the guidance they were using to determine who might be a potential domestic homegrown terrorist, you should note. This came out, it was revealed a long time ago. So you see somebody leak the FBI training documents. And what kind of things might lead them to believe that you're a potential terrorist? Well, if you're flying things like the Gadsden flag, you know, the Don't Tread on Me flag, the Betsy Ross flag, the American flag from the Revolutionary War, if you have Revolutionary War quotes, if you have a flag with a cannon on it that says, come and take it, if you're in the state of Texas, you see these flags everywhere. The FBI has training that says that might make you a domestic terrorist. And this organization, they'll be the ones enforcing the AI Bill of Rights. All that may have made you uncomfortable, and I hope it did, but I am right. We're going to talk to Senator Marsha Blackburn about this and much more coming up in just a moment. Here's something else that might make you uncomfortable. The federal government hired 87,000 new IRS agents. Every admittedly lame Republican effort to defund those agents has been rejected. Why are Democrats hanging on to them so tightly? Because they're blowing up the federal debt and they're going to come after you. Are you ready? Have you missed a year of your taxes? Did you screw something up? Have you missed a couple years? 10 years? Do you owe 10 grand? Do you owe 100 grand? Don't think you're going to take on 87,000 IRS agents by yourself. You need help. Tax Network USA, they're the pros. That's what they do for a living. Look, doesn't matter what your situation is. Trust me, they've heard worse. Go to taxnetworkusa.com/Jesse. taxnetworkusa.com/Jesse. Sign up. Let a professional fight for you. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We will continue to work at the highest levels to secure the release of every hostage held by Hamas and the safe passage of those American citizens in Gaza who want to leave. Hamas has not yet agreed to release anyone other than the 4 hostages, including the 2 American citizens. And with respect to American citizens who want to leave Gaza, they continue to not operate their side of the Rafah gate.
Okay, so how many Americans do they have? Are they hostages, not hostages? If I'm stuck in Gaza and I can't get out because Hamas won't let me out, that sure sounds like I'm a hostage. Joining me now, Senator Marsha Blackburn of the great state of Tennessee. Okay, Senator, since you can't get a straight answer from anybody in this administration, do you at least have some knowledge? How many hostages do they have? How many of our people are stuck over there?
The White House has said they have about 500, Jesse, and now we're hearing that that number could climb to about 1,000 because we have aid workers that are there. We have civilians that are there, adult and children. And what we are trying to do is get the White House to really talk about who is there, the numbers that are there, and getting them out. We know that Egypt has said they will take these individuals. We know Israel has said, yes, let's move them out. We know that there were people from several other countries that were released today. And we know that this afternoon they have just, in the last little bit, released 5 aid workers that are U.S. citizens. So that's what we know. But the exact number and what these demands are that Hamas is making to release these individuals, we do not know. Now, what we also know is what the statutory definition of a hostage is. And your audience can find that. It is 18 U.S. Code 1203. And that is people that are being held against their will. It is another government that is making a demand in order to provide passage for people to leave their country. That is how it is defined statutorily. So we're saying, are these 500 people hostages? What are the demands that are being made by Hamas? What is the plan to get these American citizens out of there? Hamas needs to understand they better not harm these American citizens. If they harm them, there will be hell to pay. But we want to make certain that Americans that are in Gaza are going to be given safe passage. The hostages that are being held from October 7th, that they are going to be released and given safe passage.
Senator, I'm obviously not under the impression our people being held in Gaza are living it up at a Holiday Inn Express, but do we know if they're being harmed in any way? Are American citizens being harmed is my main concern.
We do not. And this is part of the troubling part, because as I said, you have civilians that were there visiting family. You have aid workers that are there. The White House, you know, Jesse, I think that the reason the White House has been very nuanced in what they've had to say about this is an election year. And you've got the mainstream media that doesn't want to blame Joe Biden and the White House. And as we turn the corner on November and elections are a year away, and you look at how they're talking about, well, the people are there, we know they're there, we're talking with Hamas, Hamas is making demands, there are some challenges. Jake Sullivan's interview on Face the Nation this Sunday. See, these are things that say, well, are these hostages? And why won't you call them as such? And why won't you make demands back saying you better not touch these American citizens and demand their safe passage?
Senator, I know it's an ugly thing to talk about, but the truth is the party financially in this country is over, as you're well aware. These deficits are, they're staggering. $776 billion in one quarter, $816 billion in another quarter. These numbers are the numbers of a nation that is about to have a severe debt crisis that's going to alter how we all live. And yet people look back and we're sending money here, debating money here, money for these guys and money for the, as if the Treasury is somehow full. The Treasury is empty in this country.
Well, and let's talk about what that complicates. Is it does add to our debt. I think we need to have a bicameral commission of representatives and senators that do nothing but focus solely on how we begin to reduce this debt. It means we're going to have to be careful and judicious of our spending and be good stewards of the taxpayer money. Every year, I file bills calling for either a 1%, a 2%, or a 5% across the board cut. And we have people that say, well, we can't do that, you know. But look, we've got programs that have outlived their usefulness. We've got employees that are working from the bubble bath. And we need to start calling these to account. People need to show up to work. We need a very serious review of our government agencies. And Jesse, as you know, I have called for a freeze to federal spending. I've called for a freeze to hiring. I've called for a freeze to employee salaries in order to begin to get this spending under control and be able to implement those cuts. This is a very serious issue. In addition to that, we have to look at who it is that goes to market and actually buys and holds our debt. And you've got Japan as the number one holder. Number two is China. And in the top five, you have OPEC producing nations. And some of these individuals are not people that really wish us well. So we should pay more attention to that. I think it's like back in 2010, July 2010, Admiral Mullen was asked what kept him up at night, and it was our nation's debt.
Yeah, me too. Senator, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
All right. Let's talk about China now that they're buying so much of our debt and have been. Stephen Mosher is going to join us next. What's their capability before he joins us? Let's do something. Let's make sure your dog lives longer. Something Americans don't realize, I never knew this, all the dogs I've ever owned, they've all died sooner than they should have. All of them. It's the way it goes. Our dogs die before they should in this country. They die before they should because we don't ever give them nutrition. We give them dog food. We think we're giving them nutrition. That's really the cruel thing about it. We think, no, 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 I bought Muffy a special blend. Does the special blend, is it brown? It's brown, isn't it? You know why it's brown, right? It's dead. They killed all the nutrition in it. Whatever they told you is in there is dead. Your dog eats empty calories every meal. So dogs die. Give your dog Rough Greens. All natural nutritional supplement you pour on your dog's food. For once, your dog will have the vitamins and minerals and probiotics. You will see a difference in your dog, his coat, his energy, his breath, the length of his life. Free Jumpstart trial bags. roughgreens.com/Jesse or 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fact is that I have met with Xi Jinping more than any other world leader has. I've had over 68 hours of private meetings, just he and I, with simultaneous interpreters. I spent a lot of time with Xi Jinping when I was vice president and subsequent to that. And he once asked me in the Tibetan Plateau, could I define America for him? And I mean it sincerely, not a joke. I said, yes, one word, possibilities. I've allegedly met more face-to-face with Xi Jinping than any world leader has. America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping.
Joining me now, Stephen Mosier, president of the Population Research Institute. Stephen, the president has met with Xi Jinping a lot, and he loves to tell us about that. The question is why?
Well, if I were a cynic, I would say, Jesse, that all these backroom deals take a long time to negotiate, and you need to have one-on-one meetings because you don't want anyone else knowing about them except the other members of the Biden crime family. But I hate to be that cynical about the occupant of the Oval Office, but he's given us little reason to be otherwise. And I have to believe that this, not only is he displaying weakness internationally, which is why we have wars breaking out everywhere, he's a weak person in terms of his own character. A lifetime in government, a lifetime on the take, a lifetime of grifting. The man has no principles whatsoever, other than to check his bank account balance three times a day.
Speaking of the bank account balance, we now, courtesy of the House Oversight Committee, have more payments to Joe Biden. Looks very clearly like laundered Chinese money. I think the average American, Stephen, would acknowledge that Joe Biden is a little corrupt, maybe corrupt. I'm talking about the normal American, but I don't think people fully grasp the fact that the president of the United States of America is very likely compromised by China to the point where he's not allowed to make decisions on behalf of only our country.
Yeah, I do think he is compromised. I think he's the Manchurian candidate. Joe Biden has never been a serious person. I was on the commission, the presidential commission that set up Radio Free Asia back in the 90s. We met with the then chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Joe Biden, and we talked about setting up the radio, and he was all in favor of it publicly, and then privately, the members he appointed to the commission tried to undermine the effort. So there you had the private, public differential of a classic politician saying one thing in public, talking out of one side of his mouth in public, the other side of his mouth in private. Then we told him, he said, how much is it going to cost? And we said, well, about $25 million. Remember, this was the 1990s when a dollar was still worth something. And he said, oh, that's nothing. We pay no attention to anything to the right of the comma. What comma is he talking about? Well, I think the comma between $1 billion and $999 million. So that's how he considers our public money to be, just money he can give away to people, make them happy. He's much more aware of the private money he's got coming in and much more responsive to people who give him those payments. And, China's the big player here. China's the 800-pound gorilla. China's the key player, the driving force behind the axis of evil that includes Russia and Iran. And I think China's the source of most of the funding of the Biden family over the last 15, 20 years or so.
Stephen, speaking of China, I'm glad you brought up the 800-pound gorilla. The Pentagon, I don't know that we can trust anything put out of the Pentagon anymore, but they're putting out reports saying China is concerned with their military readiness. I am constantly concerned about a nation with a budget that size. How capable are they? Are they now officially a near peer? What is China militarily?
Okay, well, I'm talking to you as someone who is an officer in the U.S. Navy at the tail end of the Vietnam War. I've transited the Taiwan Straits with the 7th Fleet and a destroyer many times. And I will tell you that 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we could have handily disposed of the People's Liberation Army Air Force, the People's Liberation Army Navy, with the assets we have in the Far East. That is no longer true. The People's Liberation Army, Navy, and Air Force is designed for one purpose and one purpose only, to take out American ships and planes and ground forces. That's why they've stolen all of the military technology they can from us. That's why they reverse engineered the rest of it. Their planes look like F-35 fighters. Their tanks look like tanks. And their ships, of course, are modeled after our ships. When you design a Navy for that purpose and an Air Force for that purpose, you have to be asking yourself as an American, what does it mean? It's pretty obvious what it means. It means that they're preparing for war with the United States. And this business about worrying about their military readiness, I suppose if Xi Jinping who is a paranoid megalomaniac, which is what communist dictators always wind up being at the end of their life, like Mao Zedong, basically was a mass murderer from the beginning, but basically became increasingly paranoid as he got older. He has now cashiered about a third of the Central Military Commission. He's replaced many of the generals in the Strategic Missile Force and in other key places in the PLA. And I think he's doing it for one reason. He's trying to put people not only who are loyal to him, though they will obey his commands, he's also trying to put people in place who are war fighters. They will carry out an order to attack Taiwan, take Taiwan. And make no mistake about it, the end game is not to take back Taiwan. That is just the first step on the road to Guam, Hawaii, and the west coast of the United States. China has global ambitions.
Okay, that's awfully ambitious. I'm not surprised, right? He's a commie piece of trash, but eyes on Guam, eyes on Hawaii. Okay, maybe they have a military force that can stop us from trying to stop them to take Taiwan, but that's an offensive military you're describing there. That's a whole different ballgame. Are they developing an offensive military?
Well, right now they have the largest flotilla in the Middle East. They have six ships of the People's Liberation Army Navy. Oddly enough, it's called the PLN Navy. Right off the Gulf of Aden. And they also have a naval base, something we don't have in Djibouti, at the entrance to the Red Sea. They have a naval base in Djibouti capable of having a carrier, one of their carriers, tie up. So, yeah, they are developing a navy capable of operating not just in China's immediate waters, in the South China Sea, in the East China Sea. They're also capable of operating now in the Indian Ocean, the Pacific and the Atlantic as well. And look, we have to remember that when the Soviet Union fell back in 1991, we know that Deng Xiaoping met with the senior leaders of the Chinese Communist Party. Deng was then the leader of the Chinese Communist Party, and he said this. He said, the old Cold War is over. The Soviet Union has lost. It's been dissolved. America won. The new Cold War is now beginning, and we're going to win this one. They've been at war with us in a serious way since 1991, trying to undermine us around the world in every way they can. And what we see in the Middle East now, of course, is another proxy war encouraged by China itself, operating through Iran, that they hope to use to deplete American munitions and to disperse American forces so that when they strike against Taiwan, we won't have the capability to respond effectively. That's what's going on.
So you're anticipating a strike against Taiwan. When?
Well, I think that if Xi Jinping has any sense, he will see how divided America is right now, how the woke military is losing its operational readiness from day to day, how the military assets are being transferred to the Eastern Mediterranean in support of Israel, quite rightly. And he will say that his time to strike is before November of next year with the presidential election. So I think this now is his moment, his opportunity to move against Taiwan. You have a weak president, a compromised president. You have a president who's easily distracted, if he can focus at all, for goodness sake. And we have conflict within the upper reaches of the Biden administration. I don't know who's in charge, but obviously President Biden's not in charge, because when asked about the defense of Taiwan, he has said three times, we will defend Taiwan, only to have some unnamed anonymous senior official, probably Anthony Blinken, come out, or Tony Sullivan, come out and say, no, that's not our policy. Our policy is strategic ambiguity. We're not going to tell the Chinese Communist Party whether we're going to defend Taiwan or not, and that will help to deter them. Of course, that's nonsense. But what message does that send to Beijing? It sends a message of confusion and weakness. It encourages them to think that maybe we won't defend Taiwan if it's attacked. And the other thing to say here is that we are supposed to be shipping massive amounts of anti-ship missiles and anti-air missiles to Taiwan. We're not doing it right now because those assets are going to the Middle East. They're going to Ukraine. And so we've delayed our reinforcement of the Taiwan military to try to put out these other fires. Again, another signal of weakness, another encouragement of Beijing to act now before a new president comes into office in 2025.
Yeah. Stephen, that was awesome. Come back and join us soon, please. Thank you.
Happy to.
Pretty sobering, right? You know what else is sobering? Speaking of China, COVID came from there. It's wild that we don't even talk about that anymore. COVID came from China. China knew it. Remember, China shut down domestic air travel and allowed travel to the United States. They knew it, and they gave it to us on purpose. Let's talk to my buddy Steve Dace about that in a minute. Before we do that, let's do this. Let's talk about us. We talk about these huge problems, right? America, China, international war, debt, border, like all these things. And I'm glad we do. But if you don't take care of yourself first, none of the rest of that matters at all. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. There are female vitality stacks. There's Chalk lit powder. There's armor. There's more natural herbal supplements than you can possibly fathom at Chalk. I take a male vitality stack. Why? 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Forget about all the other side benefits. You will have so much energy, focus, your mood. Chalk. CHOQ.com. Promo code JESSETV gets you 35% off subscriptions. So get a subscription. Don't pay full price. That's what idiots do. Chalk.com. Promo code JESSETV. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have good news. Only 3.5% of Americans have opted to go out and get their 19th COVID booster shot. I mean, it's a little late, but okay. Americans are waking up. Pfizer's revenue's down 42%. So, no, I haven't gotten any of the prison time I want for all the endless government officials, politicians, Republicans, and Democrats who deserve to go to prison, but I'll settle for less profit. Joining me now, Steve. Steve Dace, of course, of the great Steve Dace Show, co-author of the book, A Nefarious Bible Study. Know Thy Enemy, A Nefarious Bible Study. That'll be fascinating. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, Steve, all right, the American people finally woke up, shook themselves awake. Do you think they're angry about being lied to, or are they doing a very human thing, and they just kind of want to move on? I just don't want to deal with it. I just want to move on.
If America is anything these days, Jesse, it's passive aggressive. And so the idea that, well, I'm just going to stop taking it and it's clear that it doesn't work and I don't want to find out why it doesn't work. I don't want to find out why they kept trying to make me take it before when it didn't work. I don't want to hold responsible who told me I couldn't literally work unless I took their poisonous poke. You know, that's a lot of work, Jess. You know, I mean, we've got, you know, more crappy shows on Netflix that have just posted a new season we got to catch up on, you know, and we've got a lot of other far more trivial things to kvetch about. So, you know, I'll just not take part and, you know, and that's good enough for me. I don't need anything more. I mean, every other previous generation of Americans, Jesse, we would have had to have stopped them from doing acts of vigilantism before we could actually hold trials. And this new one, we're like, I'm good. I won't take it anymore. And other people want to get poisoned. I guess, you know, that's their call.
What happened to us?
We are a godless, effeminate, culture, but I repeat myself. We abandon every possible first principle you could imagine. I mean, I did a GOP event in suburban Detroit over the weekend. And before I get up to speak, the loudest applause line is when one of the state legislators said there's only two genders. And when it was my turn to speak, I said to the group, do you understand what it means that this is our applause line now? There's only two genders. What's next? Food is tasty. Yeah. Drink water when you're thirsty. Oh, that's great. Prophetic even. I mean, if we're down to there's only two genders and that's our applause line now, then, I mean, we're at the lip of the mouth of madness, and it's not a question about whether we're going in. It's a question of whether we're belly flopping in or not. I mean, that's what we're reserved now is the most simplest of truths, the first biological fact ever said about any human ever. It's a boy, it's a girl. These are our applause lines now, which just shows you how much erosion has taken place, how far gone we are. And, you know, this is the stuff of Romans 1.
Oh, gosh, it is. Yeah, let's talk about Fauci for a minute. Now we know, obviously, he got rich off of COVID. That's not a surprise to anybody. He's got labs in Montana. These labs experimented with coronavirus a year before the pandemic even began. This is from Daily Mail. Wait, what?
Yeah. I think what people don't understand is, and this is why China was, quote unquote, never held accountable. That the murder weapon may have been manufactured by China, but it's Americans whose fingerprints are on that weapon. One big, happy global community. They were over there and here experimenting to try to, if you don't think it was a bioweapon. So the most benign explanation is that they were stupidly flaunting gain-of-function research to create a preemptive vaccine to the next SARS or MERS-level event. And in doing so, created this chimeric goulash that became known as COVID-19. And that's also why they were able to have vaccines ready so fast is the vaccine is the virus and the virus is the vaccine. It's all from the same research.
You know what? Let's switch gears here for a minute because I have to ask you about AI. Obviously, the commie scum, they're all over this. The White House is already putting out memos today. They're going to make sure there's no racial disparity. It's very equitable and things like that. And I can't help but feel like we're going to get caught with our pants down once again 5 years from now, looking around wondering why all the AI is against us.
Well, of course we are. I mean, ultimately, if we can't figure out a preemptive, there's two things that work against us on the right, passive aggressiveness. And if there's not a preemptive grift involved, well, then there's really no incentive to think forward here. But here's why I'm not sweating it. And in a certain Dr. Strangelove kind of a way, here's why I'm not sweating. And it has nothing to do with underestimating what AI is or what it represents or where it will ultimately go. It's because I understand those things that I'm not sweating it. Any society that would hand over this level of personal autonomy and freedom to an algorithm that it had nothing to do with designing, doesn't know who its designers are, has no ability to hold them accountable on any level whatsoever, has a lot more fundamental problems, Jesse, than that particular manifestation. Meaning that this is the effect, not the cause. We are the cause. We are the problem. The people are the problem. When I got into this business, I was convinced those people were the problem. Those people over there on the left completely abandoned all critical thinking, completely gave themselves over to statist thinking, completely turned their backs on God, completely denied any form of first things of the cosmos. And we're not really that much different. In some respects, we might even be worse in that we actually still assent to these things verbally, but then are willing to do absolutely nothing about them whatsoever. And so the people fundamentally are the problem. Something like the creation and corruption of a system like AI doesn't just come from people who never saw a Terminator movie ever, but it comes from the kinds of people who have largely self-terminated already.
Yeah. We don't have a politician problem. We have a people problem. I say it all the time, and it's so freaking good.
Yes.
All right, Steve, before I let you go, what is this nefarious Bible study thing?
Well, Well, there's, you know, ample evidence of spiritual warfare happening right now, openly in America. And we wanted to do something about that to encourage people to get involved in that, but then to also understand that, as they used to sing on VeggieTales back in the day, God is bigger than the boogeyman, all right? And so we created, based on our movie Nefarious, a nefarious Bible study, kind of an introduction into spiritual warfare. It's called Know Thy Enemy, and it's available right now over on Amazon.com if you want to pick it up. Know Thy Enemy, a nefarious Bible study.
How about that? I want people to go get it. We need a lot more of that, Steve. Thank you, my brother.
You bet, man. Same to you. Thank you.
All right. I have Light in the Mood coming up next. After all, it is the start of American Indian Heritage Month. Before we get to that, let's do this. Obviously, there's plenty to worry about. All we can do is prepare. That's it. Make preparations. And pray you never need them. When I tell you to get gold or silver in your hands, here's what can be tempting. And I know, because I went through this myself before I finally bought just bought a bunch of it. I tell myself, well, what if I don't need it? Well, I don't want to waste the money. What if I don't need it? Waste the money. Gold's not going to get stale. Silver is not going to get stale. Think about this. The gold you buy from Oxford Gold Group, the gold or silver coins, they deliver it to your front door. On a long enough timeline, it's a guarantee somebody will need it. Maybe you, maybe your kids, maybe their kids. Someone's going to need it. Go to jessekellygold.com. Get some gold or silver in your hands. jessekellygold.com. Maybe you'll thank yourself. Maybe your kids will thank you one day. Someone's going to need it. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if you've heard, today is American Indian Heritage Month. Well, it's the start of American Indian Heritage Month. And I know what you're probably saying right now, Jesse, there's no way you're actually going to do something about an Indian Heritage Month. Well, you'd be wrong, actually, as a matter of fact. We honor our history here as a nation, and we honor our most proud and prominent Indians.
There we go. I'm glad for everybody who's joining this video. It's great to hear from you. Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer. Hey, Glover, my husband Bruce. Hey. Is now I'm here. You want a beer?
No, I'll pass on the beer for now.
You sure? Okay, say hello to folks.
Yes.
So, okay. This is my sweetie.
Hello.
He's the best. And I'm crazy. I love you too. Thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
I'm glad you're here.
Enjoy your beer.
It gets me every time. I'm sorry. And I know what you're probably saying. Jesse, you just hate Elizabeth Warren. I encouraged her personally to run for president.
Love you.
Love your t-shirt.
Run for president, please.
Right now, we gotta be in this fight. Thank you.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. Take
Appreciate
care.
You. He's going down tonight.
I'll see you tomorrow.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.